Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Hi, I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, and you're listening to Life Matters. As part of our Sanctity of Human Life Month series, we're talking with pastors whose churches are standing up for the value of every human life. I'm very pleased to welcome Pastor Dan Haughey, Senior Pastor of Grace Bible Church in Bellevue. Today, we'll be discussing how the church can champion life from the womb to eternity. Pastor Dan, thank you so much for joining me today.
It really is my pleasure, Toni.
So before we dive in, could you share a bit about yourself, maybe your background, your family, and your ministry?
Sure. I grew up in the Omaha area and did not grow up in a home that was active spiritually. My mom and dad were not Christians, at least at that time, but both became believers before they died. My mom was killed in a car accident when I was about 15 years old. She was hit head-on by a drunk driver. And after she died, my life kind of descended, and I got involved with drugs, drinking, immorality, that kind of thing. And through a series of events, ended up spending a few hours in jail one night. Well, when I was in jail, I said to the Lord, I don't know who you are or how to find you. I just know I'm messing my life up and I need something. And that week, somebody told me how I could know I had eternal life. And of course, it was life-changing and kind of set me on the course I'm on today.
Oh, praise God for that. We all have a story.
We all have a story.
Yeah, probably. Thank you for sharing that. So what originally led you into pastoral ministry and how has your calling evolved over the years?
You know, I find that a person's spiritual gift, in a way, kind of stirs their heart. It draws you a certain direction. For some, it's service. For some, it's giving. For some, it's encouragement. As the years went on, especially as an early, younger Christian, I was excited reading the Bible. I was excited talking about it, and I love sharing with people about what the Bible means. And so I found joy and I felt fulfillment in that. Went to a discipleship program for a year. Then I went to Grace University. I crammed 4 years into 5.5. Then I went to Dallas Seminary. And as I studied more and more, I loved watching people grow. And I loved explaining the word to them, learning about it myself. It's one of the benefits of having that spiritual gift is you get to learn it before you teach it. And so I love that. And as I studied God's word, I just wanted to serve other people and ended up going to pastorate, eventually teaching at Grace University for 15 years. And so been a pastor about 43 years now.
Nice. Thank you. What was your favorite class at Grace that you taught?
That's a tough question. I enjoyed evangelism, spiritual life. I love teaching the books of the Bible. So I taught the book of Hebrews, and that probably was my favorite. The students may not say that, but I liked it.
That's good. All right. Can you tell us a little about Grace Bible Church, its community, the mission, and what you're most passionate about as a congregation?
Sure. You know, if you went online and looked for purpose statements and mission statements for churches, almost all of them, 99% of them would say something about making disciples, to know him, to make him known, something like that. And our church is no different. Our goal, of course, is to make disciples of people. And I think my favorite thing about our church is that there's just a genuineness there. I feel like you can be comfortable around the people that are there. They're passionate about God's word. They're passionate about learning it. They're very, very teachable. And the word disciple means to be a student or a learner. And they are very much like that. It's a loving fellowship. They seem to like hugs a lot more than some of them like handshakes. But they really, I think, are welcoming with people. And as far as passions, there's many of them. I think that what I see in them is they love prayer. They love God's word. They're very welcoming, and they love to build each other up in the faith. So that they excite me about ministering to them, because that's what really, I think, what you want in a fellowship. And when the Bible teaches something, they become passionate about it. And so one of the missions they've taken up is the issue of life, not just for the unborn, but also for the elderly. And so
that's good.
Care about that.
I haven't visited your church yet. I intend to, but I know several people that attend. And I would say I would agree with you. There's just, I don't know, just a sweet friendship with those that, you know, attend your church, and obviously I've spent some time with you as well, just in conversation, and I would say there is a sweet warmness, and I can't imagine. I haven't been in your church, but I just imagine that just the interaction I've had with those people would be reflected at your church as well.
Very much so. I think when people are aware of the grace of God, when you are aware that you bring nothing to God, when you're aware that you're a sinner and you don't deserve life, but you embrace the fact that he's given it to you, it changes you. And a lot of the people in our fellowship have kind of hit bottom through a variety of situations in their life. And I love working with people who have hit bottom, whether it's by abortion, alcohol, drugs, whatever it might be. People like that have a reality to them and a genuineness that's just appealing because they don't have a pretense when people come.
Yeah.
And just a genuine love for others.
I feel like that's something that I've, I'm growing in just the understanding of really what God's grace is. I had a conversation with someone just recently about God's grace, and that's a conversation for another day, but I would love to maybe do lunch with you or something and talk about that. I feel like it's an area in my life that I'm growing just recently.
I am too.
How much I depend on God's grace.
Don't you feel, Tony, as the older we get, the more we become aware of our shortcomings, and the more we become aware that our lives are covered with mercy every day.
Yes. It's not like we didn't know that they were there, but maybe I covered it up for so long. I'm getting to a point now where I'm a little older and I can admit, I don't know everything. You know, that's an area I need to take to the Lord.
The closer you get to the light, the more the light exposes you and the more you realize you're covered with God's kindness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the sanctity of human life. What does that mean biblically and theologically to you?
Well, that's an easy question, Tony. I think that I was thinking today about this. I was thinking about the book of Genesis and right after the flood. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 9, the Lord picks up an issue that I would not have expected him to pick up. He's just allowed most of the world to be destroyed. So there's 8 people alive coming out of the ark. And so the question naturally would come up in anybody's mind, so is life not that important to God? Mm-hmm. So the first out of the box, the first thing God talks about is whoever takes man's life, by man his life shall be taken. Mm. So right away he says, no, life's important to me, and shows the value of it to him, to the people who have survived the flood. And I find that fascinating, don't you, that right away God establishes the fact that life is important to him.
Yeah.
And then there's ways that he does it throughout the scriptures, Tony. When Leviticus 7:25, I was assigned in seminary, and it was about the life of the flesh and the blood, that kind of thing. And so in Leviticus 7, he talks about the importance of life right away, even in pictorial ways. Mm-hmm. And so you take life, and then life's going to be required of you. And so right away, God lets us know over and over in Scripture, life is important to me. The issue of abortion is challenging because there's verses I want to be in the Bible that are not in there.
Yeah.
I want there to be verses in there that say, you know, you take the life of the unborn, you're likely taken, something like that. But he doesn't. And I've often wondered about that. And I would just suggest this to you. When something is as clear as the value of life is in the scriptures, to me, there is a type of common sense to it. If something is growing, has a separate heartbeat, has separate brainwaves, fingerprints, things like that, the life that's within that woman is distinctive. And so for us, having already established how valuable life is, it should be an easy move from the value of life to the value of an unborn life, mm-hmm. especially an innocent one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you. I wish there was just a verse in scripture that specifically said, because those are questions that people have, and those, and I think people overall value life, but then there's the, but what about this?
Right.
Or, but what about that? Right. And I really wish there... I mean, God knows. Can't go back and rewrite the word, but
I think abortion, to some degree, is an application issue. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. all the way through the scriptures, he talks about the value of human life. And so then when you come to a situation like this, you say, you know, there's no verse on abortion. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lord, I don't want to speak for the Lord, but based on his word, I would say the Lord says, look, all the way through the word, I told you how valuable life was. Mm-hmm. I knew you in your mother's womb. You know, Psalm 139, I've known you, I've searched you, and you know everything about me. So scripture over and over again says life is valuable.
Yeah.
So then someone says, well, now, here's an unborn child. How should we think about that? Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it should be an easy decision based on the priority of life given all the way through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you for sharing that. Pastor, how do you communicate to your congregation that life at all stages is sacred and created in the image of God?
Well, the value of having a day set aside, Mother's Day and also Pro-Life Sunday, is that it's kind of a reminder. I've had people talk to me about Easter and say, you know, I think Easter should be every day. The resurrection should be celebrated every day. For sure it should be, but the value of a holiday like Christmas, even though most of us don't believe it was on December 25th, right. I told people the fact that the world would stop and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to me, is thrilling.
Yeah.
I don't care what day they do it on.
Right.
You know, I'm happy to do that. Mm-hmm. Easter's kind of the same way, and Pro-Life Sunday is just another one of those days to say, slow down, mm-hmm. remember what's important, and remember the innocent, remember standing up for them. And so we'll celebrate days like that. Celebrate may be a bad word, but we try to honor a day like that and remember those who have died mm-hmm. and remember their moms. And all that they've been through is traumatic for everybody. So mm-hmm. I think that as a nation that was based so much on the scriptures, mm-hmm. for us to not honor a day like that seems counterintuitive to the United States of America. Mm-hmm. How can you be a nation that values life so much? I have an older brother who mm-hmm. served in Vietnam. My father fought in the Battle of the Bulge under George Patton. So we're a family that's been proud to be a part of defending our nation. And I honor my family members for doing that. But if we're going to stop to honor them for giving their lives to help the rest of us, what about those who have passed on and yeah. kind of a Memorial Day sort of an idea?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. Yes, it absolutely does. I like the acknowledgement that we as a nation has set aside Mother's Day. But when you look at that in connection with the fact that some segments of our society celebrate abortion, it's just a dichotomy that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I probably won't pursue that too much, but I couldn't agree any more than that. Yeah. You know, if you don't mind, Proverbs 24, deliver those who are drawn toward death. Mm-hmm. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we didn't know this.
Yeah.
Does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? Mm-hmm. He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? To ignore that day, to ignore that is just a crime.
Yeah.
So.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. January 18th is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Join us as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker from Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Toni Clark, the Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. We're in the midst of our Sanctity of Human Life Month series, talking with Pastor Dan Halge from Grace Bible Church in Bellevue, Nebraska, about the church's role in upholding life. What would you say to someone who struggles to reconcile God's sovereignty and compassion with the reality of abortion in our culture today?
Well, God's sovereignty should never be understood to the exclusion of man's free will. God's given us that. I was reading in John 5 recently where Jesus said, you know, you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. And of course, we all know God is sovereign in regard to our eternal destiny, to our own lives. But the Lord Jesus over and over again puts the onus back on us. You know, you need to make decisions here. And when we come to matters of life and death, God puts the decision on us. Mm-hmm. That's why, for example, how can you hold someone accountable, say, for murder? Mm-hmm. How can you do that? Well, because God has put it on us. And God said, look, I want you to oversee this. So there's many areas where God has given us oversight, even though his sovereignty is there. I think, you know, you don't destroy your planet, for example, and just say, well, God's sovereign. You know, there's things he's given us to take care of. And so I think in this area, that's one of them where, you know, we have a responsibility like Proverbs 24 that I quoted.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, how does understanding God's design for life impact the way that believers view difficult or unsupported pregnancies?
I think in life, we have to establish some priorities.
Okay.
In other words, most people would say if their child lied, it's wrong.
Yeah.
But if you say, by the way, your child also murdered one of, you know, somebody else, I think most parents would say, well, that's a lot more serious. Mm-hmm. And so as you establish priorities, when you see the priority of life in the scriptures, mm-hmm. as Ronald Reagan said, if there's any chance that it's a human life, we dare not take it. Yeah. It's a great statement. And I think that when you think about the priorities and values in life, life has to be at the very core of what we hold sacred. And defending that, I think, has to be taken on as a responsibility. Those of us who are able need to protect those who are not.
Yeah.
I was having a back and forth with a guy in Minnesota one time in a newspaper about, he said that all killing is wrong. And I think murder is wrong. Personally, I don't believe all killing is wrong. I said to him, what if there's a McDonald's and a you notice somebody's in there, a gunman, and he's killing children randomly, and you could stop him. If a police officer pulls over and stops him from murdering children, would you call that wrong? And he thought that any killing is always wrong. For me, I would thank God for the chance to protect the kids.
Yeah. I think one of the things that that question I asked you, you know, about how people view difficult or unsupported pregnancies, I think the argument that I hear mostly is, so if a young lady who's probably not in the best circumstance gets pregnant, I think sometimes people wrestle with the life of that child once it's born.
Right.
And my answer to them is still doesn't justify that baby not being given life.
Yeah.
I think there's systems in place that we could help that young lady who's carrying that baby.
Tony, that's real tough for me because I think that to ignore the person that is currently out of the womb is born alive is just criminal.
Yeah.
And so I think that there needs to be that compassion that we show them. Mm-hmm. How can we help you through this situation? I think it's just a testimony of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of what love should be, just caring for them and empathy. You know, I just was reading in James 5 recently when he talks about the outcome of the Lord's dealing with Job. Mm-hmm. And he says this in, I think it's James 5:11, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And that just struck me that he called God very compassionate, meaning he feels deeply. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you about one other story. It's in the book of Luke. And there's a lady that's been bound by Satan, I believe it's for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And I love the way he says it because Jesus said he healed her on the Sabbath and they didn't like that.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, and this woman has been bound by Satan. And then he stops and he says, think of it. And in the original language, it's the word that we translate lo or behold. Mm-hmm. Listen up, pay attention, think about this. Mm-hmm. She's been bound 18 years. And it's fascinating to me that the Son of God stops everything mm-hmm. with the healing and says, take a minute and think about what she's been through. Mm-hmm. And I think as believers that are not in favor of abortion, we always need to do that. Take a moment and think about what she's going through and think about her situation. And I think it's a testimony of Christ in us if we reflect the heart of God that way, a heart that is very compassionate and is merciful.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Sometimes I actually had a conversation earlier and I'm just talking about the word empathy. And you just kind of mentioned that just putting yourself in the place of that young lady or that young man, perhaps, who's going through what they're going through. I don't think anyone, you know, jumps out of bed and say, today I'm going to have an abortion.
Right.
There's something in their life that has happened that they think this is the only choice.
They feel they need to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think sometimes if we can put ourselves in their shoes, it might help us to understand why they're walking this path. But then it also helps us to address the issue that they're dealing with and opens them up to hear the truth of what life, you know, the life options.
I maybe should not mention another podcast here, but there was a time when Joe Rogan was interviewing someone on abortion, talking about it. And the guy said to Joe, you know, when he was talking about taking abortion, he said, the two wrongs don't make a right. If the person that had gotten pregnant, in a bad circumstance, it doesn't make it right to take the baby's life. And I think that the baby and their life has to take a priority, but that doesn't mean laying aside the needs of the mother.
Absolutely.
In fact, to the contrary, I think the Lord Jesus would very much care about her. I know he does.
Absolutely. And you know, I've shared this before on this program as well. Sometimes pregnancy centers get accused of only being concerned about the life of the baby, which is so not true. We are concerned about that mom and helping her be successful in life, helping her or sometimes sharing the gospel with her so that she can experience a relationship with Christ and change her world around as well.
I was just going with the amazing Chris Schlesinger on a tour and got to go to the room where you have all the children's clothes mm-hmm. and the different things you do to care for women post delivery, and appreciated that a lot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, Pastor, what do you see as the church's responsibility in standing for life?
Well, when Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, as he concludes the first section, he talks about the Beatitudes, and he's a lot more concerned with being than he is with doing in the Beatitudes. And when he concludes, he says two things about us. He said, you're supposed to be salt mm-hmm. and you're supposed to be light. So I think salt is that we add a certain flavor to our society. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, the flavor that we want to add is make sure that life is always important mm-hmm. to all of us. And then light, to make sure that that's known by people. And you can't put a cover over the light and say you're doing your job. You know, we have to make sure that we have at least some moral influence in our society.
Good. But how do you address life issues in a way that's both compassionate and truthful from the pulpit? We kind of just talked about that just a tad bit from her standpoint, but how do you as a pastor address that from the pulpit, that you're saying this is, you know, abortion is wrong? We also need to have compassion for those who have perhaps had an abortion or thinking about it.
Well, we have women in our fellowship who've had abortions mm-hmm. and they're very active in pro-life today. Mm-hmm. And the best I know I can do as a pastor teacher, at least my understanding of the construction in Ephesians 4 is that the way I shepherd, one way is to teach. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about what we talked about in Luke. What was the heart of Jesus toward the woman who had been bound for 18 years that Jesus could stop them and say, think about what she's going through. Mm-hmm. And I see that over and over again in the scriptures. You see the compassion of Christ, even for those who have failed, even for those who have sinned, because everybody listening, I like to joke with our congregation, there are two types of people. There are people who fail, mm-hmm. and then there are liars. There's people who struggle, and there are liars. We all struggle.
Right.
And so to convey to them, as we minister to them, yes, we do want you to keep your child. Yes, we do want to help you with that. But then to make sure that we're there for support, emotional support, financial support, and to try to give people a God's perspective on this, because over and over again, the scriptures are painted with mercy. Mm-hmm. And mercy follows us, as I said, every day of our lives. And for the person that's had an abortion or for the person thinking about it, they've made choices that I think are wrong. But on the other hand, I've made 10,000 choices that were wrong. And that was probably before 9 o'clock this morning. Mm-hmm. But we can convey to the fellowship, this is the way you should look at someone that does something wrong or is struggling with doing something wrong, because you do things wrong all the time.
Yeah.
And what God has met you with every day of your life is forgiveness and mercy.
Absolutely. It just reminds me of a conversation we were just talking about, grace, and just realizing that I'm not beyond needing God's grace. And just his grace that shows me I'm fallen, you know, and I need his grace every day.
I think if we start there, and what we try to do is build a culture in our fellowship, mm-hmm. and hopefully it's a culture of compassion. And I think that the reason that genuineness is there is our fellowship has very much embraced the fact mm-hmm. that they fail all the time, that they are recipients of grace and mercy, mm-hmm. and certainly is not a license to go ahead and, right. and do it again, but to realize that since we've been treated that way, mm-hmm. then we should treat others that way.
Absolutely. You know, I've shared before that growing up, I didn't necessarily hear messages on life. I grew up in a church. Mm-hmm. Not that there weren't any, I just don't remember any. And so some would say that sometimes our churches are quiet or passive when it comes to life issues. So how can the church avoid being silent or passive on the issue without becoming political or divisive?
Well, I think to some degree, it's going to be political. We're not moving into their arena. They're moving into ours. Mm-hmm. When the government decided to be involved with issues of life, now they stepped into our world.
Okay.
And because we serve a God who gives life, you know, it's important for us to speak about it. And I've grown to love a certain word in the last couple of years, and that's the word intentionality. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can embrace things, but James talks about receiving God's word implanted, which is able to deliver your life. And in context, he's talking about the ruin of sin.
Yeah.
And James is teaching that when you're under trial, it's easier to sin. So you need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, in the first section of that slow to speak section, he talks about receiving God's word implanted, which is able to deliver your life in the original, delivers your life. And that's all, that phrase is always used of temporal life, you know. And so what he says next is a verse I'm sure you're familiar with, but prove yourself doers of the word, not merely hearers, to delude themselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looks at the natural face in the face of his birth in the mirror, and he walks away, immediately forgets who he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man should be blessed in what he does. And then he goes on at the end of that chapter, when he talks about living out what God's word teaches you, he comes to the end of the chapter, and he specifically brings up the issue of caring for those less fortunate. He said, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so there's that compassion toward those in need, and certainly those who have had abortion, those that are aged, dealing with issues of life there. But just remember, the world doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah.
I know that's a counterculture message, but the world doesn't revolve around us. And as believers, God teaches us life is important, and you say, man, that's great, I'm going to pray about that. Well, get off your spiritual backside and do something about it, you know, be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Pastor Dan Hauge. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. January 18th is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Join us as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker from Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information. That's firststeptolife.com. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.